Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I'm absolutely thrilled to be in a room with so many gods and goddesses. You people are absolutely magnificent, and I hope you remember that, and I hope that you know that you are creative individuals, and that you are one with this thing that we call God. The little paper I brought in today, the little treatment here, I goes, in God I live, move, and have my being, and you hear me say that all the time. That's why I brought it in. We are always living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. There is no other mind. Living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. This month we've been talking about come out wherever you are, meaning that we are godlings, that we have this God power within us, that we have all the qualities of God. If God is all there is, then we must have exactly the same qualities as God. We cannot debate that in any way. For years, people have been debating that. People think that we're outside of God somewhere, and we're not. There was a cute thing Winston Churchill said. We may be worms, but I think I'm a glowworm. He thought he was a glowworm. But for years we heard that we were worms. Ministers used to stand up and tell you that you were the worms of the earth. Horrible thing to do. I tell you always about the outside world, and we must learn, and I'm going to do a talk this summer on overcoming the world. Remember, that was one of the things that Jesus said, I have overcome the world, meaning he overcame, and we can all overcome the world by looking at it completely differently and not being convinced of what it is. What do I mean by that? The news media, movies, books, everything I pick up or hear has some derogatory thing in it. A book that I'm reading right now, the person said, there's a special place for you in hell. A special place for you in hell. People, there is no place. There is no hell. Get that out. We're still hearing that from the world. We're still hearing that. There is no hell. If you think of hell, it has to be in your mind, in your consciousness, but there is no physical place called hell. There is not the underworld, as they used to say. Here again, I said last week, give up the idea that that God is on Mount Olympus. That God, the gods on Mount Olympus haven't been around for thousands of years. And this thing called heaven is also a state of mind. Everything about us is a state of mind. But what I want you to realize is that you have God qualities in you, and that you are absolutely perfect. Now, the world wants to tell you that you're not perfect, but you are perfect. You're always a perfect idea in the mind of God. See, something that's perfect cannot make something that's not perfect, or that's something that's imperfect. Hi, how are you? Getting taller all the time. So anyway, remember that you are perfect, and remember that you have these God qualities in you. And the world before all of this, way back, and we'll go back thousands of years, people knew that. Does anyone remember, now this isn't thousands of years ago, the hymn, Near My God to Thee? Do you remember? Well, that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be near to God, and God is inside of us. All these qualities are inside of us, and when we start to take on those qualities, we are near God. So think of that. How close do you want to get to God? This whole month is an idea that you must practice the presence of God, the presence of God within you, the presence of God outside of you, so that you see God everywhere. That is what we call truth, and that is the only reality there is. At the present moment, the reality that we are seeing, race mind has made up. And we join in with race mind, and we start to believe this reality that we see. The reality that we see is not the reality. And we see that reality because we start to think we're puppets of our conditioning. And we start to think the same way that everybody else has been thinking for thousands of years. But let's go back another distance in time. Do you remember the Oracle at Delphi? The Oracle at Delphi had above it, know thyself. Know thyself. What does that mean? Know yourself. Know the good qualities in you. Know the God qualities in you. Know the creativity that's in you. Know yourself. We do not know ourselves, and no one wants to teach us that either. They don't want to teach you any of the things, the qualities of God, and we should be taught the qualities of God all the time. We also have the other thing, which has been around for years and years, called self-realization. To become self-realized means to become God, to see those God qualities that you really do have inside of you. Instead of saying, which the world says, oh, I'm only human. After all, humans act this way. You know, we always make an excuse for ourselves. We have to train our minds to think differently. We have to train our own minds to think differently. We have to be able to forgive constantly, instantly. And when we do that, then we are expressing this thing that we call God. And that, here again, Ernest Holmes always referred to God as the thing, or the thing itself. It is a thing. We have no idea what God is. We can say it's an essence, it's a wisdom, it's an intelligence, it's life itself. And it's the only life there is. Therefore, we have to be part of that life. So think of those things and try to bring yourself to the idea of self-realization, especially in this lifetime. In this lifetime, make that a goal of yours, to practice the presence of God, to become to the self-realization that you are God, that you are creative, that you have all the qualities of God within you. All the qualities of God within you. And then I'm very fond of telling you that in the Bible there is a thing, know that ye are gods. One book of the Bible that appears in is Corinthians, by the way. And the Corinthians is loaded with it. But you can look all that up. It's mentioned many times in the Bible, but it's not talked about. It is not talked about. I said, told you last week, if I would say that to in Pennsylvania, even my little cards in Pennsylvania that I have, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, they would think there was something wrong with me. They would think, oh, isn't he, conceited? He thinks too much of himself. You see, in the area that I grew up in Pennsylvania, you must never think too much of yourself. If you think too much of yourself, now there's something wrong. My mother used to say, well, who do you think you are? The big I am. Meaning, do you think, remember? Who do you think you are? The big I am. So we shrink. So this is why we have all these God qualities in us, or this seed inside of us, that we're godlings and so forth, but it's hiding inside of us. It's absolutely, sometimes, absolutely afraid to come out, because you're going to get punched in the head or hit on the head by someone who's going to say, who the hell do you think you are? Who do you think you are to be able to say things like that? Now, if somebody doesn't start saying it, we'll never get around to it, will we? We might as well admit that that's true. And we're the ones that are going to have to change the world by changing our thinking, by saying, aha, I am this thing that we call God. And then things will work better in the world itself. In the world itself, we see that. I told you last week, somebody called to tell me that somebody outside of that courthouse, when that woman got sentenced to death, I guess, or murder. I don't know what she got sentenced to, but the woman said, "Oh, I'm so glad because I was praying to Jesus for that to happen." You cannot pray for this kind of stuff. This is not what this thing is about. You can pray for goodness. You can pray for abundance. You can pray for all that, the good for everybody. But you can pray for God to smite somebody. We don't smite anymore. Maybe they did, you know, in colonial times or something. But people are not smited, and God does not smite. That's the God of the Old Testament. And that God of the Old Testament is no longer with us. This man called Jesus brought a new covenant into the world, and that covenant was the covenant of love. You see, many people do not realize that in the Bible, God is called by three different names, Elohim and all those things. That's the Old Testament version. We don't do the Old Testament. You know, maybe the Bible thumpers and maybe those people who still want to teach fire and brimstone and want you to think that you're awful and that God is always out to punish you and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Absolutely, you must give those ideas up. They are not true. God never punishes. If you think you're being punished, you're punishing yourself, and you're punishing yourself with your thinking. With your thinking. So you have to change your thinking. You have to say to yourself, I have these qualities inside of me, and I am drawing them to the forefront of my mind. And I am using those to see the reality of life itself. Because the reality of life is wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, give up any of that outside stuff when you hear it and so forth. When I'm reading, I just laugh at all these things. But I also say, I can see how people are convinced. They see it in print. They hear it on the television. And they see it. Now, here's another one I wanted to tell you. I got to laughing. There's some television program on, a religious program, and the woman has this hair about, she must wear 9,000 wigs or something like this. And now they have. You remember when those other people, I think they're dead now, had an amusement park. You know, they had a park. This one has the Holy Land Park. No, Bakers. That was the Bakers. I think they're all gone. Anyway, now they have this amusement park. They don't call it amusement park. They call it the Holy Land, and you can go there and you can experience, you can have communion the way they did at the Last Supper. Now, I'd like to know who was there taking pictures at the Last Supper that knows this stuff. But after it's all done and come with your family and you know and experience all this, then it says, now remember, this is a religious thing, right? Then it says, it has been picked as one of the 10 best amusement parks. Amusement.
Blasphemy.
Yes, of course. You can't
say.
It will probably cost a fortune. But to be able to say this is a religion, this is a religious experience and it's an amusement park at the same time, you know.
Because they get exemptions.
They get something from it. So, anyway, there's all that stuff out there. You have to sort through all that. But you have to sit down and tell yourself, it's absolutely true. I am one with this thing called God. I have all the qualities of God, and I can learn to use those qualities. When you learn to use those qualities, you absolutely overcome the world itself. You overcome the world. Now, you're going to live in a completely a different reality and a completely different consciousness. But once you're in that other reality and that other consciousness, you have no idea that this lower consciousness exists. So, that's what this whole month has been about. Trying to find that God seed inside of you. Realizing that it can grow, that you have these qualities. They're intrinsic within you. You were created with them. So now use them. Bring them out. Bring them out of yourself. Okay? So, with that said, I'll open it now, since this is going to be the last session of the month because we have Memorial Day on Monday. Please, if you have questions, let me hear them. Good.
Well, you said bring out my God qualities.
Yes.
So, identifying them, is it like a meditation?
Well, you can do a meditation, but you know, what do you think God's qualities are?
Good qualities.
Well, they're good qualities. So what are they? Name some. Truth.
Honesty.
Beauty. Honesty. Love.
Okay.
Understanding. Compassion. All those things. Now, you say to yourself, I have all those things. Why am I not using them? You see. So you can just start to use them. They're inside of you. They're intrinsic within you. But we're not taught that, right?
Right.
We are not taught to use any of those qualities. We're taught that we are human. And what are some of the human qualities? Jealousy, hatred. My God, they go on forever. You see? And we know those all right away. We know human qualities. But you have to give up that idea, people. And you hear this all the time. Well, I'm human. Why don't you start saying you're spiritual? Why don't you start saying that you're God instead of telling your mind constantly that you're human? You see? Does that help you? Yes.
I was also wondering about that.
Yes.
Now, what about when people don't have to,
Yeah. Well, but that's another person that's not acting perfect. That doesn't mean you don't act perfect. So you have to see the God quality in them. I told you this story. I met a little woman years and years ago, and she was in her 80s then, and she was in unity. And she said to me, you know, sometimes, Dallas, I have a hard time finding the divinity in somebody when they're acting like a rotten son of a bitch. And it's difficult, isn't it? But you have to look for the God quality. You have to look for the God quality. The expression that I use constantly is, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You see, people are not out to hurt you. That's another thing that we're taught, that people are out to get you. People are not out to get you. You know, don't let that come into your consciousness. You weren't here last week, so you have to have a question.
I need a couple more minutes.
Oh.
I'll formulate.
Okay. Next.
And I have one, and I lost it.
It'll come back. It'll come back.
Bring up the godlessness in you, and you'll find it.
Right. Nothing is ever lost in mind, remember. We can retrieve everything. It's so funny, but it's right there always. So this is the other thing. Remember that. What does anyone remember? What the true essence of this teaching is?
It's a mental world.
Well, Well, that's one of them, but that's not it. What are we trying to do? We're trying to control our thinking. We're trying to think the thoughts that we want to think and feel the feelings that we want to feel. That's the tenet of this teaching. You don't hear that. I often say that to you. I put it in, I slip it in here, there, and everywhere. Many metaphysical churches out there, they don't tell you that. They do not tell you that. But can you imagine how much better your life would be if you were the one that was thinking the thought? You see, there's nobody else thinking that thought. You have to control your mind so that instead of it saying, you're horrible, you're mean, you're hateful, blah, 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 you have to have your mind tell you what a wonderful individual you are. What a wonderful individual you are. And we don't do that. We let our mind tell us how bad we are instead of how good we are. Because we didn't grow up in a family that said, oh, wonderful, 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 you. We didn't grow up in that family. We grew up in a family where they said, you better straighten out and get that done right and this, that, and the other thing. And what are you sitting there for? Surely you can find something to do. Well, that's what this teaching is all about. It's called Science of Mind for a reason. People get off track and they think it means, oh, this, that, or the other thing. Or they try to turn it into a regular branding church by thinking that we have to sing hymns, yell and scream, and have tambourines and all to get God's attention. God is never beyond your attention. God is right here, right now. And you do not have to pray to God. You do not have to do all that. When you pray, you're only praying to yourself, by the way. So what you do is you want to align your thinking with what you conclude is the thinking of God. We will never know exactly what the thinking of God is. I just love that when people say, I'm going to tell you what God thinks. Oh, I don't think so.
I remember now.
Yes, good.
It's about, I've heard a lot of people talk about, there was some spiritual leader that was here not too long ago, the one where you walk on the coals.
Oh, yes, I've done that.
You've done that?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know about that.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, that started, I did it with a man by the name, and you see him all the time on television, Tony Roberts. Mm-hmm. Do you remember him? Mm-hmm. And that was to teach you, you know, that your mind is controlling that. And that those hot coals and so forth, you can walk over those hot coals. Now, you don't look at them, by the way. But you look up. And the whole time you're walking across them, you're repeating to yourself, cool moss.
Cool.
Moss. You know.
Cool moss.
Cool moss. And then you're able to walk across them, and then when you get to the other end, you quickly scrape your soles of your feet off because there's cinders in there, and they do not burn you. They would if you didn't, you know.
If you didn't believe.
If you didn't believe.
And how long was the walk?
Well, maybe from this pole to that pole.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. And that was to teach you what power that you have, the power that you have, the power to do these things by using your mind. Like using your mind is the only tool that you have, and you have to learn how to use it. Yes. So that can be done. It looks like a parlor trick and so forth, but it's not. I deliberately did it to find out what it was all about. You know, in the late 70s and early 80s, I was a seminar junkie, you know. I went to everything that came down the pike to find out what these people were talking about. And I learned a little here, a little there, and I put it all together. And then, with all of it, I ran into religious science, and I stayed with religious science because it made the most sense of all of them. Because you're not going to get up every day and walk across hot coals, you know. So.
But what is the basic premise of Scientology? I thought that they were sort of in line with us, except for some of their far out.
Well, I have no idea. I tried to read Dianetics. Has anyone ever seen the Dianetics book? I got it, maybe. I don't even think I got through the first chapter because it was so convoluted I couldn't read it. Although he said that this is what's wrong with all books and so forth, that they're not clear. Well, I thought, you're not clear. I couldn't figure out a thing the man was saying. And I tried it. I wanted to read that book. I probably still have it at home somewhere. But somehow they grab people and they get them somehow. And that's through a mind control. I've also done Silva mind control also.
That's a
Silva mind. And that was a Spanish man, Silva. Yeah. Well, it used to be very popular, Silva mind control. You can still, I think they still have that around, Silva mind control. It's all done with your mind, people. And it's learning. My mind was a mess. Oh, my goodness, my mind was a mess. I grew up with people whose minds were a mess. How could I expect mine not to be, you know? When I finally got out and figured... See, I never even... When I was growing up, I didn't know the word dysfunctional. I did not know the word dysfunctional, you know, because I didn't think my family wasn't dysfunctional. Oh, did I find out how dysfunctional they were. It was incredible. I'll tell you the cutest story. It took me for years to figure this out. In my home, we all helped. So we cooked, we cleaned, we set the table, we cleared the table, we did the dishes. When all that was done and so forth, one evening, we had to, I think, maybe go to Boy Scouts or something. So my father was going to drive us into Boy Scouts. And on the way by the Kistler home, we could see Joe, that was the guy's name, the boy, at the kitchen sink washing the dishes, right? And my father said, now see, what if you had a life like he had and had to do the dishes? We just did them. We just did them. I grew up in a crazy making family. Absolutely crazy making. But I'm here now, and I have nothing bad to say about them. I have to laugh sometimes. You know, they say if you survive childhood, you've done something. You know. So I've learned to control my thinking. Not that I have it down pat, people. I run into all kinds of things, but they don't last as long as they used to. They don't last as long. Any of the things, if I start to get depressed, I can get myself right out of that. If my mind starts to turn on me, I can turn it right back around. So I don't suffer from all the things that I used to. And I certainly don't suffer from all the things that I hear other people suffering from all the time. Which I think is a horrible, horrible way to go through life. They're bitching and complaining constantly about something. No, usually about how horrible their life is. Usually about how horrible their life is. And my life is not horrible. So, did anyone think, Sue, you don't have a question here? You just write everything down? She's making a book. You have a question, young man?
Yeah. Why do we make mistakes?
Ah, well, we're always going to make mistakes, and we shouldn't be, you know, mistakes are the most wonderful thing. I'll tell you what Ernest Holmes called mistakes. Instant karma. Instant karma. And thank God you know it right away, or you'd be doing it again, you see? That's how we learn. We make mistakes. Nothing wrong with that. I don't get upset. I yell, oh my God. because I was taught in this dysfunctional family that you had to be perfect. You could not make a mistake. And if you made a mistake, it was the worst thing. Oh, my, you would never recover from it. You could never recover from it if you made a mistake. So, very difficult to grow up that way.
It's a learning process as well.
Yes. Mistakes. Yeah, you learn from them, but you don't punish yourself anymore. See, we must stop punishing ourselves. Stop punishing yourself. I woke up the other night and made some notes, which will be another talk. And it was, be kind to yourself and others. See, how many people sit around and are kind to themselves? We sit around picking ourselves apart, don't we? You must learn to be kind to yourself. Do you remember my little saying? The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. You know. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love God. And if you can't love yourself and you can't love God, you certainly can't love anybody else. You must all start with you. You must learn to love yourself unconditionally. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. So what? You know? So what? We get over those things. Nothing wrong with making mistakes. The thing is, the wrong with it is dwelling on the mistakes. You see? Always, you know, if you fall down, you don't stay down. You pick yourself up and start all over again. The same way with a mistake. You make a mistake, and you're going to make another mistake. You pick yourself up and you do something about that mistake. You don't wallow in that mistake. You say, oh, whoops, I made a mistake. That's one of the most wonderful things about this teaching, people. You see, other teachings tell you that once you make your bed, you must lie in it. This teaching tells you you can remake it any time you want. It also tells you if you make a mess, you don't have to live in that mess. You can step out of the mess. Where when I grew up, if you made a mess, or if your bed wasn't made correctly, you had to live with it the rest of your life. Remember when you made a mistake back then? You made that mistake, now you've got to live with it the rest of your life. Yeah, you don't have to live with a mistake the rest of your life. You don't have to live with it for a few minutes. You say, oh, I made a mistake, so what? So what, did the world come to an end? No. World will not come to an end.
Why would talking about mistakes? I studied photography for a couple of years. And we're always looking for your own unique style. Usually just copying other things that you've seen. And I had a professor that said, if you want to find your own unique thing, look at your mistakes. Those are unique with yours, and find the things you like about them. I don't know how that exactly applies here.
I think it applies very well here. They're unique to you, so do something about them. Many things that were a mistake have now made people tons and tons and tons of money. Do you know one of them that was a mistake? The Post-it note.
The
Post-it note. That sticky stuff was something that was supposed to do something else, and they couldn't make it do it, and they discovered, oh, well, look, you can peel it off. And they made Post-it notes out of it, made a fortune. But they hadn't set out to do that. Well, you want to know the biggest blunder? Viagra. Viagra was for heart pressure, for blood pressure and so forth, and they discovered the side effect was the erection. So they sold the side effect. See?
Penicillin,
yes. So there, you know, So I love that. Look at your mistakes and see what you can make out of them. See what what becomes of that. Yes. So don't be afraid of mistakes, people. Do not be afraid of mistakes. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. That's what it's all about.
Well, I've been, in the morning, I've been trying to wake up, and as soon as I wake up, which I think has happened maybe twice, I try to remember to, ask God, I say like a little prayer of sorts, asking God to direct my mind.
Yes.
And keep me positive. And, but I was just wondering, how do you end your day? When you go to bed, do you have a prayer that you say?
Oh, I always say thank you for a wonderful day, yes. You know? I'll tell you a secret about going to bed at night time. Now, I don't know if you people do that, but so many people, you know, do with your pants and so forth. If you have change, do you not put the change down someplace? Do you not take your wallet out and put it someplace? Do you not take your watch off and put it someplace? Do you not put all those things? So, all the things that are bothering you and all the things that went wrong during the day, you have to put them over here, too. You take them out, too. And you let them go. And then you sleep peacefully. You don't have to carry those. I need those things with you. It's just learning. And that's a wonderful way to wake up in the morning and say, I want to be positive today. You see. As I said, I don't get out of bed in the morning before I go. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. And today, I will judge nothing that occurs. Now, am I successful with that? Some days I can get almost to the kitchen before I start judging. Before something is wrong. But I forgive myself immediately and I watch my mind and I say, you silly little mind, you're not going to trap me again. You're not going to get to me. I'm going to be the master here. And that's what it's all about. Is you must become the master. You have allowed your mind to become the master of your life, and your mind is not the master of your life. Your mind is yours to use. You must learn how to use it correctly. Otherwise, it will take you down the tubes. It will take you down the tubes. Remember, I always say, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You have never been my friend, and you have never brought me any good news. Has your mind ever brought you any good news? I don't think so.
When the time you end, did anyone's, were any feet burned?
Some people had to jump off, yes. Because.
You have to leave it.
Well, yes, and you get halfway down, well, you could feel the heat. I mean, you're walking across these embers, you can feel the heat. So they get halfway and they go, and then they start, their mind says, ha ha, heat, you're burning, heat, you're burning. What did they forget? Cool moss. And then there were no blisters, no nothing. My feet were perfect at the end of it. Pardon?
A test in one's belief.
Well, a test in one's belief. It was he was using it to show you how much power you really have. You know, I don't think he does it anymore. I don't know if anyone does the firewalk anymore. But I did all those. Sweat lodges and you name it. I've done it. The only thing I have never done, and I wanted to do it, but I think the price was too much. And that is a deprivation tank.
You deprive yourself of everything?
You deprive yourself of all your senses. You can't feel, you can't see, you can't smell. You're floating on, I think it's salt water. But you can't. It's completely, you're closed in and so forth. So there's no stimuli coming in. Your senses stop. Because that's all we do all day long, you know. That's why we get so tired. We're taking all this stuff in constantly. And we have to analyze and do something in the tank. Nothing is coming into you. Your body is not receiving any messages whatsoever from the outside.
I'm glad you did all this.
Yes, well, exactly. Somebody had to do them right. Well,
that reminds me of Django putting people in those hot boxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, you can't talk the talk if you haven't walked the walk. You just can't do it, and so many people want to do it. And, you know, it can't be done because I've been there. And I pulled myself up. That's why I keep teaching. Because it was very beneficial for me. As I said, if I went to come into religious science, I wouldn't be on this plane of action right now. I was ready to go someplace else. Because at the time, although I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, there was no mental stimulation there. And I lived in a beautiful mini mansion and all this kind of stuff, and everything looked great. Everything, I mean, people, but I thought, this is senseless. There's nothing going on here. There was no, you know, these people aren't sincere. There was nothing about them that was sincere. So where did that make me? I thought, well, I better get thinking here. I don't want to be this way the rest of my life. So I perked up. And that's when I gave up all those vices that I had, you know. Which I thought was part of life. You see. I grew up around people who drank. I grew up around people who smoked. I grew up around people who swore. I grew up, oh my goodness. So I thought this is the way people acted, you know, until I found out differently. And I escaped it, Jen. I want to tell you that my cousin and my brother, we grew up together, they escaped it also. My brother never smoked. He drank maybe once or twice. And my cousin doesn't smoke or drink. And now I don't smoke or drink, and it's quite a few years. But we could have fallen right into that pattern. Right into that pattern. I will tell you the story. The small town in Duncannon, Pennsylvania, population 2,000. We had a friend of the family. We called her Aunt Matt. She wasn't an aunt, but she was very close, so we called her Aunt Matt. She left when I was maybe a teenager or something. She left and moved to New York City with her husband. Or New York, not New York City. Buffalo, I think, New York. And she came back for a visit and went downtown Duncannon. My mother said to her, well, Matt, has Duncannon changed at all? She said, absolutely not. She said, now, what I've noticed, that children are now occupying the bar stools that their parents used to sit on. Are now occupying the bar stools that their mother and father used to sit on. That was small town Pennsylvania. That small town and rural around the globe does that. You just keep repeating that same thing. So you have to break yourself away from those things. Can we help you?
How can we change the baby?
Oh. Well, we'll watch. Babies are cute. Can you do Scott next? So anyway, we are puppets of our conditioning. And we learn to break away from that, or we don't break away from that. So many people never break away from those things. I'll tell you another story about small town Pennsylvania, and that came from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. That was steel mills there. The father worked for 20-some years in the steel mill. He retired from it. They lived on a street called Fleetwood Street. It was near the railroad. When the trains came by, the whole house shook. It took them 20 years to move off of Fleetwood Street to in Coatesville to another place. I don't know the name of the street now, but it overlooked a park. Beautiful townhome, right? They had two children, Mickey and Charles. They both went to work for Lincoln Steel Company, and they both, the children, moved back, right back onto Fleetwood Street, where it took their parents all those years to get off Fleetwood Street. Because that's the idea. The sins of the father are revisited on the children or on the son. Life repeats itself unless you get out of it. It repeats itself unless you're able to get out of it. And that's what this teaching has taught me. And it gave me a window to get out. And I got out. And I started to see things differently. And I started to be able to control my own thinking. If I would have stayed in Pennsylvania, I would have wound up like everybody else. You see? And I would have thought that that was life. Tonight I'd be on a bar stool at the pub. You know. That's true. That's true.
Not in a bar.
And that's what small towns, they just keep repeating. They just keep repeating themselves. So, think of those things. So, back to the idea that this thing called God is in you. It's in you, as you, and through you. You cannot escape it. Every quality that God has, you have. So learn to use those God qualities for yourself, to make a better life for yourself and a better life for the people around you. Learn to overcome the world so that there's not all this pettiness going on all the time, where you're offended about this, you're offended about that, you're into arguments and you're this, that, and the other thing. That is not life, people. That is not life. You can live it that way if you wish, but it is not life. Life is meant to be grand. It's meant to be enjoyable. It's meant to be fulfilling, and it's meant to be successful. It's meant to be. So think of those things about your own life and so forth. And try to explain that to other people that are out there. You know, especially the children of the world. Otherwise, we never go anywhere. We just keep staying where we are. Staying where we are.
Are you saying that we shouldn't confront someone if they offend you? Or how do you handle that? If someone offends you?
Well, if somebody offends you, there's you have taken offense. Mm-hmm. And if you have a God quality, God never takes offense. But see, that's a human quality. We think, oh, they offended me. I have to do something about that. Otherwise, I'm not standing. I'm a doormat. I'm not standing up for myself. I'm not doing this, that, and the other thing. Very tricky little thing. But you have to sit down and say to yourself, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They cannot offend me. They cannot offend me. They need help. They're crying out for help. What they need is love. Regardless, when anyone comes towards you with anything, they're coming towards you because they want love from you. And they may offend you and may do this, but they're asking for love. So, we must learn not to be offended. That's next month's talk.
But if you enlighten them...
Why do you always want to enlighten people? Why don't you enlighten yourself?
Well, I think I am enlightened in that area.
Right. So why? But you also have this desire to always want to enlighten somebody else.
She's a teacher.
I know. But there's other ways to teach. Teach by example.
But I do in this situation.
Oh, all right.
I do.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
Yes. I know, it's a difficult one. Go ahead.
You have said in previous classes that if someone's speaking to us unkindly, we should tell them we don't like how they're speaking or it's inappropriate.
That's right.
So how does that differ
Well, you're not offended. You don't take offense. You tell them, excuse me, I do not like that. In my presence, I do not like that. Please do not talk to me that way. That's completely different than taking offense.
But this was from lack of knowledge, lack of information, lack of exposure, lack of experience.
Well then, but you do it in a nice, kind way, don't you?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh. You have to learn to do it in a nice, kind way. Now I'm going to tell you a story. This was with B. Arthur. She was in a hospital in New York visiting a friend. And somebody came up to her and said, oh, can I have your autograph? And she said, well, yes, you most certainly can. And she pulled out her pen and the woman was ready. And the woman said to her, you are Leona Helmsley, aren't you? He looked at her and said, take this pen and stuff it. She said, but I said it in a nice way. But I said it in a nice way. So we have to learn how to, it's a balancing act. We have to learn how to do that. Now, see, she was offended. I'd have just wrote down Leona Helmsley and let her go out thinking she met Leona Helmsley. You know. But I'm sure B. Arthur had a very big ego. A very big ego. She was a nice woman, by the way. I met her several times. She was a nice woman. But she had a big ego. She also, you know, was so crippled, she never wore shoes.
Really?
She was very hard on the Golden Girls and them because her feet killed her. But she came to parties and she immediately had no shoes. Her feet were so...
She was quite a character.
I'll tell you another cute one about her. She loved to get drunk. She drank vodka.
She had that voice.
Yeah. She would drink vodka and then she would say, getting pissed now, getting pissed. We have
painted that photo up for
purpose. So anyway, back to God. You cannot escape this thing called God. You're in God, you're our God. God is everywhere around you, and you have these qualities. Please, people, bring them out of you. Bring them out of you. And when you have these little petty things and so forth going on, say to yourself, is this a God quality or is this a human quality that I was taught somewhere? Like, am I being mean? Am I being hateful? Am I jealous? You know, do I envy people? All that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with God whatsoever. And I know tons of people go to church and still have all those qualities. They have never given up those qualities. Give them up. Give them up. Become the thing itself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Yes. No, you press after. You press.
Oh, yeah.